ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I want to introduce you to my friend, Craig Quartermain.
Comedian.
Comedian. We met years ago on an ABC training course where I'm pretty sure I made an absolute drongo of myself several times. Sorry, Craig.
Comedian and snake hater.
Snake coward.
And Craig hates snakes. It's What the Duck, the show that promises to be entertaining every single episode while I, Anne Jones, the host, torture people I know with weird facts about nature. And sorry, Craig Quartermain, co-host of Moving to the Country on ABC TV and comedian at large, this time I'm going to torture you.
Just growing up in Western Australia, I always had a high awareness and...
Despite growing up in WA, a place I absolutely associate with the heat and deserts and therefore snakes, and also working as a FIFO miner for a while in the heat and the desert and, again, snakes, Craig has a fear of snakes.
And it's a lack of knowledge and definitely a lack of trust. Because I, you know, when you tell someone my size, I'm not a small person. Something smaller than you is scared of you. That's the most logical, obvious thing ever. But for some reason, once I see these animals, I'm kind of like, nah, death incarnate, gonna get me. And it just, it's this weird reaction that I can't really justify. Every time I think I'm cool, like just the other day, a carpet python was around the chickens. And I thought, I'll be fine with that. Until my wife decided she wanted to take photos of it and get close and have a look, and I was like, I'm not cool with this. I wish I was better prepared.
Don't worry, we've got your back. I have absolutely made up a snake desensitizing regime for you. We've got a two-pronged attack, like a fork in a serpent's tongue. We're going to go for your heart and your mind. For your heart, I've organized for you to go out and meet some new friends. And for your mind, I'm going to absolutely wow you with snake facts.
Snake fact.
Actually, snakes can be really good mums.
Okay. I mean, the parenting strategies wasn't my top concern, but I'm glad to know that, you know, any snake I do see doesn't come from a broken home. That's nice.
No, they found that these pythons in South Africa, where they were studying them, they not only would incubate their eggs for several weeks, that even after the little baby pythons hatched and they were a wriggling mass of kids.
Sorry, just that visual. Even baby snakes. Just says, oh.
She didn't go out for any food the whole time. She just was a really good mum.
If anything, that's just reinforced my dislike of children. So what? She can't go out and get a meal. That's annoying. Yeah.
In that case, I'll tell you a slightly different story. Some snakes do eat their own children. Is that going to work?
Is that good? I mean, if she's eating the bad ones.
Yeah, that's
why
true.
Not? She's saving herself a lot of time in therapy and, you know, a lot of school visits, all that sort of stuff. I think that's pretty smart.
Actually, speaking of therapy, it's time for you to hit the road. Actually, have we filled in the paperwork for this about the risk?
I don't know.
Nah, bugger it. We'll do it anyway.
Okay, good.
There are a couple of different ways that phobias and fears are dealt with by professionals, which I'm not. There are talking treatments, you know, counselling and also cognitive behaviour therapy to try and overcome the behaviours and thoughts that are associated with your phobia. There's also exposure therapy. In this type of therapy, a person confronts their fear in a safe environment. They learn to tolerate the anxiety that comes with it, and also, hopefully, their anxiety wanes as their tolerance grows. And we've organised something of that nature with a snake professional and some of her colleagues. And by colleagues, I mean snakes.
Okay, so it's a rainy day here in Brizzy. Just loading up the car and heading out, stepping over cane toads. Getting ready to go to my snake desensitizing. Sensitivity training feels like something you do if you're in trouble. But essentially, I'm going to learn how to speak to snakes or something like that. I'm not sure how it's going to go. I thought I was cool with snakes. But the closer I get to actually getting ready to head off, I'm getting nervous.
Craig isn't alone in being scared of snakes. In 2019, McAfee, you know, the company that allegedly will protect a computer from a virus, they commissioned a poll of Australians asking what they feared most. 1,079 adults were asked to choose their top fear from a list of 10. You know, clowns, ghosts, dentists. 30% of people chose snakes.
I thought I was going to be fine on the way there. And as I got closer, I started to get the sweats up.
So Craig is our stand-in for the every person, for, you know, probably actually most Australians. He's taking it for the team and going on a blind date with a snake.
Probably the saving grace was the fact that Sandy was standing in the car park as I pulled in, looking at me. So then I made that eye contact and couldn't just drive away. I had to pull over then and park up and, you know, she trapped me with her face. And then, so I had to commit.
Sandy Dickinson is the professional that's ready to show Craig the nope ropes.
How you doing?
She has 15 or so years snake handling experience. And also, she does this sort of thing all the time, snake education.
Okay, so we've got four tubs.
One snake per tub.
One snake per tub, and they're decent-sized tubs too.
Do you want to feel the weight of one? So you're really scared of snakes, aren't you?
I'm not brave.
Not no. brave.
But,
I guess it's just a little bit of snake awareness, and people that are scared of anything tend to act irrationally. So okay. If you understand how an animal moves, why it does what it does, that kind of thing, you tend to act a little bit more sensible.
Okay.
Are you ready to meet your first one?
Okay, we're just going to, have a crack at it. I thought we'd get a few.
Craig is stalling.
Maybe.
Right, time for another snake fact.
Snake facts.
Okay, here's another thing. Snakes can have friends. They found this in eastern garter snakes, right, which are in America. And what they did was they got all of their juveniles that were from different areas. Some of them were from the wild and some of them were raised in captivity. They put a little dot on each individual so they could tell who was who. And then they did a whole heap of tests where they moved them around and put them in different groups and in different hidey holes. And every single time, the snakes returned to their original groupings with their original friends.
That can be sweet, or it means they just don't have any social skills once they get out of, you know, the juvenile stage.
Yeah, true.
Well, and even the most annoying people have friends or people that put up with them. Look, friendship is just such a broad term, man.
Oh, God,
but
all right.
Kind of cool that snakes, though, even value companionship.
Yeah, well, maybe Sandra's snakes might value your companionship.
So this is...
Hi!
A Stimson's python.
Yeah, it is. Sorry, I wasn't actually prepared for how nervous I'd get just then.
Now, while
there's a tongue.
This is one of our smaller species.
Oh, look, he's cuddling.
Australian snake.
He's just cuddling the hell out of you.
Yeah. His name is Pretzel.
Hi, Pretzel.
Do you want to have a feel of him?
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So we're going from the back.
So we go just, we never come towards their head.
Okay. That is actually stunning. That's really, really nice. And his head's coming this way. That's fine. I'm cool
with that.
He's
just smelling.
Yep.
Just investigating where we are, what we're doing.
I'm touching the part of my finger that touched the snake, and there's no residue. And that's a misconception, isn't
it? That's right. That they're slimy or that they're wet feeling. They're just smooth and very soft.
Craig's eyes go a bit blank. He takes a couple of deep breaths.
Sorry, just take it a second. You're being amazing, by the way.
No, you're good,
Am I more nervous than most people, or am I...
No, actually, you know, kids are probably less nervous than most adults.
Okay, because they're dumb.
No, it's just they've... The
they
stories on the media.
Bad habits, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
For sure.
Sandy is onto something there. about why some people are scared of snakes. How we pick up fears and phobias is a question of interest to developmental psychologists. Some people argue that it's within our biology, that the fear of these creatures has evolved because way back some ancestors survived snake bite by being scared. But then others say that this is a learned fear, with studies into maternal disgust, negative information in children's picture books. I mean, even in the Bible, snakes are the embodiment of danger and evil. But it doesn't mean that this fear has to stick with you. So, time for another snake fact to try and convince Craig that snakes are friends, not foes.
It's time for a snake fact.
Sea snakes, you know, oh yeah, the water isn't safe. You know there's sea snakes, right?
I'm aware they're the deadliest venom in the planet, yes.
Yeah, but get this right. The males that are most sensitive have the best sex.
Yeah, what about the snakes?
Right, cue the sexy underwater tunes. It's really difficult when you're a sea snake, right, to have sex, to find each other, because you're in the water, right? And the pheromones that they release, they get dispersed into the water, so it's a bit hard. So they found that male sea snakes have four knobs. Yes, two of them are called genial knobs, and they're actually up towards the head, and two of them are called anal knobs, and they're, well, you can guess, towards the cloaca, because they don't have an anus. They've got like a one exit entry type hole that's for everything. It's called a cloaca. Anyway, the genial knobs, right? The more sensitive and bigger they are, the more success the male snake has. Because what he does is he uses these two knobs that are sort of on his, I suppose, if a snake had a chin or a neck, they'd be in that area. And he uses that to make sure that he's in contact with the female snake. So sensitive, large knobbed snakes have more success.
I don't know how you did it, but you made that sound hot. So I didn't come here for that sort of language, but I'm glad I'm here. You explained what a cloaca is and four knobs. I get it now. I get it why a sea snake would have so, they have so many options.
Is this helping yet?
It's, I mean, helping, again, weird phrase. It's giving me visuals and knowing who the happiest snakes are and what, who's probably going to have a bigger circle of friends.
All right, hands up if I should start a Lonely Stands account just for descriptions of snake knobs. Anyway, this is all very amusing, but it doesn't seem to be helping Craig actually get over his fear of snakes. So, let's take this all up a notch and bring out the next snake.
I'm fine.
You're fine? All right. Yeah, fine. Ready to move to the next size. There's a bit of a jump, sorry. Is
oh, hi.
A little bit larger.
See, I just... Oh, boy. Sorry.
So, this is a... A diamond python.
Yep.
I'm feeling like it was a little bit mean to make Craig face his fears, but I'm absolutely certain that so much of the fear that we have around snakes is because we don't really understand them. It's like the OG fake news stuff, people, because actually the chance of you being bitten by a snake is phenomenally small. There are 3,000 bites a year in Australia. This is from a 2013 study, so it is a little bit old, this data. And there's only something like 2 deaths a year. Bee-related deaths, 2.2 per year. But it's actually really hard to think logically when you've got fear muddling with your thoughts. And Craig's nervous laughter shouldn't take away from the fact he's actually being incredibly brave here as Sandy lays out a huge diamond python called Felix on the grass.
What does a python do if it is worried?
It will just try and slither off. They don't like the open generally. It's that bushland over there that they're going to be they're looking at. How are we feeling about putting him around the neck?
If I put this one around my neck, Am I able to tap out for the other two or no?
Cree is now trying to bargain.
Oh, okay. All right.
This one is really nice to hold. Being a diamond python, they just think you're a tree, so they're just going to sit in you like a tree. You ready? So
where should I be looking?
So what we want to do when we hold a snake is we just want to be as relaxed because they can tell if you're a little
bit... You realise telling me to relax is a paradox, right?
Okay. All right, let's go. Let's do it. Now, he may come up onto your head, he may give you kisses. That's all he's going to do.
Okay. Craig, as it turns out, is not relaxed.
I'm pretty much just
me relaxing.
So, as Felix, the huge python, moves across his shoulders, smells his hands, Craig seems to be employing some sort of transcendental meditation technique to take him into a happy place. And if anyone has actually been through the experience of having a snake placed on their body, the movements of the muscles along the meat tube are absolutely mesmerizing. It feels a bit like having a massage.
That is a really unique sensation.
Around your neck, yeah.
And does the snake interpret laughing as tension?
I know.
I'm like giggling out of fear right now.
But you're doing a good job of feeling relaxed because he's actually quite relaxed on you. If he wasn't, he would just be wanting to get off you. He would be heading for the ground. He'd just be heading
away.
Really?
Scram?
Yeah, because they fear for their life. They're worried that you might hurt them because you're so tense and not relaxed.
This is not that dissimilar as a comedian. This is not that dissimilar to trying to work your way out of a hostile crowd.
I imagine.
Because, you know, you have to relax or it's going to go sideways.
Yes. Yes, you can feel him getting tighter probably around your neck.
Oh, shit, I've gone and got him killed.
Yeah, people sometimes think, oh, they're trying to choke me because they're getting tight around the neck. It's not that. It's that that's their support, that's their anchor while they stretch out.
All right, he's just giving me goosebumps. Not for any other reason than this just feels kind of weird.
Yeah.
Very cool. Wow, that was a hiss. I heard
that. You heard a little hiss?
Yeah.
That's what we call that snake talking.
Yeah. Yeah. I call it hissing.
Turns out it wasn't a hiss, but a sleepy little sigh from Felix.
Oh, look, I think he's gone to sleep now. How do you know if a snake's asleep?
That's amazing. I have no idea.
Well, they don't have eyelids. So if they're not flicking their tongue and they're sitting very still, good chance it's asleep. So that's why, you know, people often come across them on the footpath and they think the snake knows they're there because they can see them, but the snake might be asleep.
And so after Felix went from one shoulder to the other, he just stopped moving. And that's when Sandy goes, he's asleep. And I was kind of offended to the point, but relieved as well.
That's so funny because I was thinking, oh, that's amazing. It fell asleep on you. It feels really safe, you know. You're like, oh, I'm so offended.
Yeah, it's like, I am no threat to you at all. Yeah, fair point. Yeah, so I was all over the shop as far as my reactions and when I was comfortable and when I wasn't. But, yeah, he was pretty chill. Felix was a very, very pretty snake and very chilled.
Ah, interesting you say that because just before you said, let me play it.
I mean, would you consider snakes to be not a very expressive animal?
This is the thing. Learning to interpret snake behaviour will remove some of that mystery. Felix goes from a killer to a sleeping meat sock. And talking of behaviour, I have a video for you and I've just sent you a link.
Snake facts.
Okay, it's coming up and I am watching... Did I just watch a snake play dead?
Yes.
That was pretty cute. The mouth flew open. That was fine. Also, how do you train a snake to do that?
Well, you don't train. This is actually a hognose snake, which is probably one of the internet darlings of the snake world. They've got a little turned-up schnoot, which looks sort of like as if someone was pushing their little nose upwards. And one of their defense mechanisms is to very dramatically play dead. So when they feel like something is going to, you know, attack them, they basically roll over and go, no, I'm dead, don't eat me.
Okay, so basically we're just triggering this animal to amuse ourselves and get likes.
Basically. Another thing the hognose snake does, one of their defense mechanisms can actually be cloacal popping, which is basically defensive farts.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean...
Well, I was trying to open up to the wonders of the snake world, Craig. But...
No, that's cool. That's fine. No, look, they're amazing creatures.
And just as we start to get some conciliatory sort of response from Craig, Sandy brings out the biggest snake yet.
Oh, shivers.
He's Aurum.
Hi, Aurum.
And he is a very different looking snake.
Aurum is about 2.4 metres long. And he's a black-headed python, but he doesn't look like the python you're probably imagining. His body is brown, with darker brown stripes rolling around his sides. He is a thick boy. His head is jet black, and it's shiny. And yeah, he's a bit scary.
Okay, so look, I can't lie. That black head is kind of intimidating.
So these guys are often killed, especially when they're a bit smaller, because people think they're venomous. It can't be
that
a python
a
because
head,
it's
yeah.
got a different head. The reason it has that is because it actually eats snakes. And reptiles.
Okay.
So it's a reptile specialist.
Okay. That's tough. This is a badass snake.
This is a badass snake. He's beautiful.
But does that mean...
I'm going to put him on the ground just so you can have a little look at him move.
Oh, he's...
He's a little bit faster.
I'm not gonna freak out. I'm going to try and stand... Okay. Yeah, you are quicker.
He's going to go into the bags and things we have sitting around. Nope, not hiding under there.
Oh, is that because he's just... Yeah, like you said, doesn't like the open space.
They don't like the open space. It's not a natural thing. They're very vulnerable. Even at this size, you know, eagles and things in the wild would...
As we ended up finding out, any deliberate movements was really just to get away. And hide or just get away from the birds or whatever it was. So a bit of calmness came over me when I realized that, this poor thing is actually scared. You can see it's not coming up to look you in your face and tell you, hey, I'm the boss now, walk me where I want to go. It's just kind of like wants to get away. This is noisy. This is drawing too much attention. There's no food here. I'm out.
And here comes the birds.
Oh.
So,
see, now I'm feeling more and more sheepish thinking how intimidated I am. When this poor snake, all he wants to do is go find somewhere quiet to hide.
Yeah, yeah. So the noisy miners, as soon as you start bringing out the big snakes, it's like, yeah, they let everybody know they're around.
If I'm honest, having all that commotion, having the snakes out there and just having that audience build up of birds and other humans, just people genuinely curious, worried and staring, kind of reminds me of when me and my cousins would just go down to a basketball court and then the neighbours of that nice neighbourhood would come and stand at the front of the veranda just to make sure little black kids weren't up to any no good. Like, that's what it felt like, the way people would pull up and stare. I was like, oh, this feels familiar. Yeah, I really felt for the snakes, but there was something very familiar about that process.
Okay, a couple of things. I'm loving that you've found some empathy for the snakes. And number two, you're saying cockies are racists.
Well, they were.
And that was a pretty major demonstration of how if you learn to listen to the sounds of nature, it's going to give you a lot of information about what's actually happening in your local environment.
Yeah. I mean, just walking my dog since, I have been a little bit more hyper aware.
Mm-hmm.
And
in a good way or a bad way?
In a good way. Like, I don't think I'll freak out. I'm probably less likely to panic.
I don't know. Do you reckon this was a success? What do you think?
Success. I would, as far as altering my perspective on snakes, progress from respect to an appreciation for snakes. They are kind of beautiful and bullied. But anything where I walk away with a little bit more of an understanding so that I can eliminate anything bad happening to myself or the snake, I guess that's a win. If one falls out of the tree on me, I'm still going to freak out.
Yeah, me too.
A huge thanks to Craig Quatermain for reporting and being an excellent sport for this program. You can find him on most social media, as well as in comedy clubs across the country. I'm Anne Jones and I produce the show with Patria Ladgrove. Field recording in this episode was by Dylan Prinz, script editing and advice from Joel Werner. We make this program on unceded Kaurna and Wadawurrung country, and Craig recorded his part in Meanjin. You might know that as the snake heaven of Brisbane.
Maybe.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.